Okay, everybody. Furuba, if you want to go on mute, then you can come off mute if you want to say something later. All right. So let's begin in prayer. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you do a little reading from 2 Corinthians. Oh, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If then my people upon whom my name has been pronounced humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, I will hear them from heaven and pardon their sins and heal their land. Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us tonight as we talk about family prayer and as we enter into the mystery, into the relationship, a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior, and with God the Father and with the Holy Spirit. Please be with us tonight, guide us, and help us to grow closer to you through prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, this is our third, I believe, third talk, and we gave it a title. What was that title? You remember the title? This is no, I don't remember. We gave it a specific title for Lent because prayer during Lent is just a little bit different than, well, let's just say it's more intense, right? We should be praying daily in our lives, and sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. I know for me, it's almost a cyclical thing. There's sometimes I find it really easy to pray, and other times I find it hard. Find it hard to set aside that time. And a lot of time it's the exact time when I should be praying more. When we've got difficulties or busy schedules or just struggles in life. And I find that those things, kind of like Peter walking on the water, right? The Lord is out there walking on the water, and Peter says, if you're real, if you're not a ghost, command me to walk on the water with you. And Jesus says, come on, Peter. And Peter starts walking on the water miraculously because he's keeping his eyes on Jesus. And it's when he takes his eyes off of Jesus that Peter starts to sink. And I think that is a great model for prayer, right? That even in our daily lives, when we stop praying, it's in essence that we're taking our eyes off the Lord. And we start to sink. And because we're sinking, we don't, our first instinct is not to look back at the Lord, but to try to save ourselves from drowning. And when Jesus picked Peter up, he said, why did you take your eyes off of me? And I think that is really the main purpose of this talk on prayer is to say, just don't take your eyes off the Lord. Don't stop the prayer. No matter what happens, there's nothing more important than breathing the air of prayer, right? If we stop breathing, we'll die. And in the spiritual life, if we stop praying, we will die a spiritual death. Okay, Danae found it. Family prayer, we titled it Revive, which I think is exactly what I've been describing. You know, there's Peter walking on the water. He takes his eyes off the Lord and he goes down under the water where he can no longer breathe. And Jesus picks him up and revives him. And so if we're having trouble praying, then maybe the prayer is, Lord, give me the strength, help me to pray. It's not always that, your prayer has to be perfect, and I think that's one thing that many families struggle with is they think that maybe from their family of origin they have a certain concept of what prayer looks like. Maybe it's from another family at church where they see them and think, "Oh, that family's holy." They get to church early and they see the family crowded up around the Marian altar or the St. Joseph altar, or maybe right in front of the tabernacle, and all the kids are lined up perfectly and everybody's praying in Latin. And you just look at them and you go, wow, that's prayer. And so you try that as a family and you fail, and you're just like, I guess it's not for us. Okay, that's the devil keeping you from having a conversation with the Lord. So whatever preconceived notions you have, just throw them away, right? Maybe you try something. Go ahead.
So there have been times in our lives when looking at our different family structure, trying to find what prayer model works for this season in our family is very important, because there will be different seasons in your family where different types of prayer models will work. And I remember when the kids were really young, one of the things that we did is we did a lot of song, you know, that we would sing and spend time in praising the Lord through song. And that was something that for younger kids was easier for them to engage in and participate in. And so as your children grow and get older, you start introducing different types of devotions. But I just had a conversation with someone recently, just this week, talking about this same thing, like, I'm failing, or I'm not fully, you know, doing my commitments in Lent. And I said, well, don't forget to remind the Lord, like, Lord, inspire me, call me. Remember that the call to prayer, as much, it's not just our discipline of prayer, but it's also like remembering that, hey, if I ask the Lord to help me, he will send me little encouragements and little things to help me make those choices. So recognizing that the inspiration to prayer always comes from the Lord first. And when he inspires us, we respond. And it's not always our initiation of I'm going to pray. It's God's initiation that reminds us to pray. And so just recognizing that difference that, yeah, I might put it in my schedule that I'm going to pray, but then I'm like, I get busy and I hadn't done it yet. And if you put it back on the Lord, say, Lord, help me make sure this happens today. And he will. And he will.
And he will. So God's plan for your family is holiness. Each of us, whether we're married, single, we're all part of a family. We all have a part to play to redeem the world. The writings of St. John Paul II provide a beautiful description of what it looks like to be a family after God's own heart. You know, God's plan for family life consists of setting your priorities with God at the center. We talked about that in one of the first talks. Cultivating a healthy family prayer life, that's the talk tonight. Engaging in family recreation, loving unconditionally, building community with other families, and eventually evangelization, right? And so family prayer is the most important, really, of all these steps that can be taken. It is the lifeblood of the family because it takes the family outside of itself and brings it into union with God. An individual prayer life for each parent is a prerequisite, and prayer, or I guess between married couples, is very important as well, right? So you can't give what you don't have. Doesn't mean you shouldn't try. All forms of prayer acknowledge that God is important. We cannot do it alone. Our relationship with God is an essential part of our lives. That's what prayer says. Because I remember this homily that was given. It was actually, we were on a mission trip with a whole bunch of families in Mexico. And so the homily was given in Spanish. And one of the ladies who spoke fluent Spanish, she translated the homily afterward. And it was the first time I'd heard this, and I've heard it many times since. The guy said, so prayer is like, if you think of prayer, prayer is a relationship. And so when you met your spouse, Did you spend a lot of time with your spouse? Did you take a lot of time to get to know what they were like? Did you ask a lot of questions? Did you want to spend every moment with that person that you wish to maybe marry? And the answer was, well, of course you did, right? That's what you do with someone that you love. You get to know them. You share things about your life. You ask them about theirs. You try to find out everything that you can about the object of your love. And he says the relationship with God is no different, right? If we truly love God, we're going to want to spend time with him. And if we don't, then maybe that's one of the things we need to ask for in prayer is, Lord, I love you, Lord. Please increase my love, right? Lord, I trust you. Please increase my trust, right? Those are perfectly valid prayers. And many times those are the prayers that we need to say, right? We need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. You know, please help me. And so as an individual, that absolutely applies. As a couple, that applies, right? You go together as a couple, right? One of the most intimate things you can do is pray. It makes you very vulnerable. When you go to the Lord, you're acknowledging that you are not almighty, that you cannot do all things. In fact, what you acknowledge is that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when you go as a married couple, you basically come together and you're not only vulnerable to God, you're vulnerable to your spouse because you're with your spouse and you're acknowledging that neither one of you has it all together. Neither one of you is perfect. And you both need God in order for this relationship to be successful. And when you go as a family, you're really giving a model of that attitude because your kids get to see you asking God to help you. They get to learn how to petition God and to have a relationship with him as a friend in a lot of ways while acknowledging him as Lord. So there are many, I guess, practical reasons why we should pray as a family. So with all of that motivation, now let's maybe talk about how do we do this? How do we come to the Lord in prayer? What would that look like? Right now, there's lots of different family sizes, as Danae has kind of retold a little bit earlier. Your prayer may look very different through different phases of life. When we had very little children, we prayed before meals, right? So having meals as a family is important. And you start with praying before meals. We prayed when we put them to bed. They weren't doing a whole lot of praying, but they were experiencing prayer. We were giving them the gift of prayer, and it's something that they always remember. We see it in some of our adult children as they're forming their own families. They're praying very similar to how we did, praying before meals, praying nighttime prayers with their kids. It's kind of beautiful to see, right? They remember that very well. So you look at those easy ways of integrating prayer into the life of your family. We would go to events at church. We would do the Stations of the Cross. We would, really anything that the church had available, we would go. We were one of the few families that would bring our kids to daily mass on a consistent basis. Sometimes we got some looks because they're like, oh, those kids are small. And one woman who said that, eventually, as our kids kept getting older, she said, ah, I see why you were doing it all these years, right? Because your kids are turning out very well and they actually have a desire. One of our sons who just turned 18, we find that, after he gets off of work, he heads down to our parish and he goes and serves. You know, he has one day a week when there's an evening mass and he goes on his own. We're not making him go. We don't even suggest to him. And I'm like, where is he? Why isn't he home yet? And we look on our little Find My Son app and it shows that he's down at our parish. And that's just beautiful, right? Because that example of prayer and putting priorities on living a life of prayer, which includes mass is the perfect form of prayer. That's something that our kids learn just by us doing it. So I would say that as you live out your lives, engage in those things that the church offers and pray with the seasons of the church and pray at meals. But if you don't kind of make prayer a priority in your family, if you don't say, look, we're morning people, we're going to get up early and we're all going to pray together. And we're going to do it for 5, 10, 15 minutes. It's probably not going to happen. If you have trouble finding mealtime where you're all going to sit down at the table together, then you won't have an opportunity to pray before meals. If you're always struggling to get kids into bed and you don't kind of have this normal routine, you're going to have difficulty bringing prayer, nighttime prayers, into that situation. So your regular rhythm of life can be conducive to prayer or not. So look at your priorities, look at where prayer can be inserted and insert it. What other ideas do you have, Danae? Any other things that you could share about practical applications of prayer?
Recognizing the limitations of the age of a child, and not trying to do too much. so that they start to resent it. So trying to find appropriate amounts of prayer based on the age of the child. Because I know when we were doing family rosary time, when we had really little kids, we would start the family rosary with the whole family. But when the little kids got restless and they, you know, we just would put the little kids to bed and one parent would finish the rosary with them in the bedroom and the other parent would stay with the older kids and finish the rosary. And so just making sure that you have compartmental prayer time for the youngers that maybe is different from prayer time with elders. I mean, you want to pray together as a whole family for the amount of time that the whole family can participate. But when it gets difficult, allow yourselves to say, okay, this little child has had enough. That's as much as they can handle right now in their state in life. And so just recognizing what you can do and increase where you can, but don't force it so that it becomes unpleasant. That would be my recommendation. Or find different types of prayer so that maybe it doesn't get mundane for them. Because I know there have been seasons where we did the rosary. There have been seasons where we did the Divine Mercy Chaplet. There have been seasons where we did Liturgy of the Hours. And instead of adding all of those things and doing all of them, we would say, okay, well, we're not going to do this because we're going to do that right now. And so just being open to those different styles of prayer and sharing those with the kids, I think is very helpful in that resistance, that natural human resistance that to prayer that happens just from our own human and Cupid sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there is no right way for every family. There is no one form of prayer that is perfect for every family, right? You know your family's best. And select from the various treasures that the church has to offer, right? Of things like the rosary or liturgy of the hours, you know, adoration, right? There's lots of different ways of praying together as a family. Use the ones that work for your family. And let me just close with this Familiaris Consortia, or a quote from St. John Paul II's Familiaris Consortia. Says family prayer has its own characteristic qualities. It is prayer offered in common, husband and wife together, parents and children together, by reason of their dignity and mission. Christian parents have the specific responsibility of educating their children in prayer, introducing them to gradual discovery of the mystery of God and to personal dialogue with Him. So enter prayer with the end goal in mind. Your goal is to introduce the mystery of God and personal dialogue with Him. If you raise your children to know that the Lord is somebody that you are to have a personal relationship with, you've achieved the goal. If you've trained your children in prayer and they run to prayer in times of trials and tribulations, you've achieved the goal. And know that the Lord will help you. He wants to assist you as parents by virtue of the sacrament of your marriage to be the best educators of your children. All right. So are there any questions since we have some people attending live after we've gotten our technical challenges rectified? I think we put them to sleep.
Mm-hmm.